Burrow is a furniture company known for timeless design and thoughtful construction, and free shipping, and that extends to their outdoor collection. Their outdoor furniture is built to withstand the elements, featuring rust-proof stainless steel hardware, weather-ready teak, and quick-dry foam cushions. For Memorial Day, get 15% off your Burrow purchase at burrow.com/acast, and up to 25% off outdoor. That's up to 25% off outdoor furniture at burrow.com/acast.
Hello, and welcome to Ask a Clean Person, the podcast on Acast. I'm Jolie Kerr, a cleaning expert, advice columnist, and author of the New York Times bestselling book, My Boyfriend Barfed in My Handbag and Other Things You Can't Ask Martha. A companion post to this episode containing show notes appears on deadspin.com, and you should send your questions about cleaning or anything else really to joliecare@gmail.com or just chat with me in the comments at Deadspin. You guys, friend of the show Kristen Lee is back, and I'm very, very excited, especially because this time she has brought two bona fide TV stars with her.
Oh, God. No.
You guys are in for it.
I had to do it. Help. Carr versus America's Michael Balaban and Raphael Orlov. Hey, guys.
Hey.
Mike
Hello.
And Raph, hey. I know. Hey. I had to give you your formal names. I mean, listen, it's like in your like SAG contract,
it's
right?
For the Googles.
So you guys, Jalopnik is back in the house, and I'm really excited because, as you guys know, I love Jalopnik in a totally unnatural way. But it's especially exciting to have them here with me now because I am officially part of the Jalopnik family.
Yay!
I know that I've mentioned this a couple of times, but Ask a Clean Person started running as a once a month column on Jalopnik in October, and this month in November there is going to be another once a month column that's going to be about a set of very expensive motorcycle leathers that went moldy. It's a kind of gnarly and weird and great question. I think,
have you ever tried to say moldy motorcycle leathers?
It's like
quickly.
Yeah, it's like she sells seashells by the seashore.
Yeah.
It was a weird and evocative question too. It was like, feel like that guy took us on a journey. Balaban's editing it, so he'll
moldy motorcycle leathers.
It's like a vocal warm up exercise.
Exactly. Yeah.
Mm. Oh, no, Brian.
Think about it.
Yeah. So that'll be my Jalopnik column for November. Before we even get to that, we are going to do a very holiday thematic Jalopisode because the holidays are approaching and people are going to be driving around with like bowls of gravy and 20-pound turkeys in their car, and Kristen's going to die. we are going to talk about today what was actually the subject of the first Ask a Clean Person for Jalopnik, which is what to do when there is a massive food spill in the car. That first column was about a bottle of olive oil that shattered.
That was incredible.
It was
and
very good.
It was like very upsetting for me and Kristen and a lot of other people.
Can I just interrupt really quickly and say,
yes,
I've walked into a trap here. I was told this was going to be a fun podcast with friends and joy and laughter and happy things.
We are just getting started.
There's laughter and joy over here on this side of the table.
Instead, it's going to be a fucking like lightning round of let's make Kristen feel horrible and awful and laugh at her.
Yeah. I don't know. What email did you get about this? Because I got that one. That
I got happy
good.
As well. I feel like I was lied to.
You were.
Did you know there's a turkey that's involved in some automotive regulatory history? Turkeys in cars?
No. Wait. Ooh, I do know this. Yes, I do know this. No, the turkey. Yes.
No, it was in, I believe, 1970. It was either 73 or 74.
Okay.
The government had just instituted mandatory seatbelt interlocks. Your car would not start if your seatbelt wasn't buckled.
Oh. Okay.
Which is crazy. You're like, that would never happen, but it did.
But it did.
But only lasted for a year because the tech was really basic and like, if there was any weight on like a seat, it would like freak out and need a seatbelt in it. And in Congress, one of the congressmen said his wife had been driving back to prepare a Thanksgiving dinner, and she'd put a turkey on the passenger seat and her car would not turn on. Because she couldn't, the seat thought there was a person in there and it needed to be buckled and she couldn't figure it out. And, like, that was it.
That's fascinating. I feel like Kristen's going to appear before Congress and demand that this law be reinstated so that people can't put food in their car.
I mean, there are trunks. There are trunks.
I'm actually with Kristen here. I am strongly, violently against any food in any of my cars.
Really?
Ever.
Whatever.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, I start to twitch.
You are twitching.
Yeah.
It's, like, fascinating to watch you right
now. Yeah, I cannot have any food whatsoever. My friends bring food in their cars. They leave wrappers. And I'm just like, ah.
I mean, that's just bad manners. Don't litter in someone's car.
I associate with all forms of miscreants.
Sounds like you need new friends.
I mean, probably.
Here's the interesting thing. He will leave stuff behind at, like, his desk or something.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. No, I've seen his desk.
And I find it interesting that a lot of car people, they'll be total Jekyll and Hydes with how they keep their normal lives dirty, but their car is super clean.
That's me. My car is a sacred space. Nothing can violate it.
Okay.
I'm very adamant about this point.
That's a little weird language, but fine.
Here's the thing. It actually turns out, so I thought that in the second segment, I was going to be just tormenting Kristen, and the three of us were all going to have a good laugh over this. You're going to be really upset about the second segment.
Are you just going to throw shit in my car and then just be like, how do you feel now?
Yeah, I might do that, actually.
These people are horrible.
Season two of Car versus America.
Yes.
Jolie versus Car. Jolie versus Taliban.
Just crying the whole time.
I love it. All right, listen, you guys, before we get into all of the torture I have in store for Kristen and Balaban.
Yeah.
I want to remind you that I offer bonus episodes and all sorts of other cool rewards to my premium subscribers. If you would like to help underwrite my show by becoming an Ask a Clean Person, the podcast patron, go to patreon.com/askacleanperson to check out all the packages I'm offering and to select the level of giving that's right for you. Your support helps me so much, and I would love to hear from you if there are awards you'd like me to consider making available. I have new patrons to thank this week. I forgot to plug them into the script because I was so busy trolling my Twitter mentions to find all of the things that people have spilled in their cars to torment Kristen. So I'm sorry, my beloved patrons. But I think we can all agree that it was worth it, because there's going to be literal discomfort on today's episode. And I for one, am excited.
As am I.
You guys are wonderful friends.
Good. Speaking of Raph's discomfort, we're going to start with your personal story, because I actually just found out that I was in the office last week and I saw Patrick. He's like, Patrick, like, I was driving down to the Jalopnik pod to see you guys. And
you were driving down to the Jalopnik?
Because it's very far from Deadspin.
Yeah.
You have to drive.
We provide cars.
Yeah, it's not walkable.
It's actually the same Datsun they used for bringing out the Yankees back in the 70s. We just, like, chuck it out.
So I was, like, on my way down, and Patrick, like, ended up, he was coming to me. So I was like, oh, you knew I was here. Apparently he felt something in the fourth.
Yeah.
It's the disturbance.
Well, when I arrive in the office, it often is. So anyway, Patrick comes Patricking up, and he's like, Raph just had a really, like, fascinating laundry experience, and you should maybe write about it for one of your columns. And he told me, and I was like, actually, I totally should write about it for one of my columns, because that is really fascinating. So, Raph, I'm going to have you talk about this. It was a laundry success.
It was.
It was a laundry success.
It was one of my extremely few laundry successes.
And I have a few things to add to it, too. So let me have you tell the story.
I would just like to point out that the pants I'm wearing are too tight because I washed my jeans wrong,
FYI. You're too tight hipster pants, to quote Balaban.
That was another disaster. But
that was, by the way, so you guys, the first episode of Car versus America, there was like the you know, sort of standard, like, setup scene where they're running to their cars, right? Yeah. And Balaban's like, my hipster pants are too tight. He's like, couldn't run in them.
So this is really gross, and I've never told this story publicly, but why not here?
Go for it.
The reason why my hipster pants were too tight, they were not previously too tight. So that running scene was shot in the second episode.
Okay.
In the first episode, it was so hot. I got a lot of comments like, why are you so sweaty all the time?
Where was that episode?
It was in North Carolina. It was in August. It was like 95 degrees with a billion percent humidity. And I had sweat so much that my pants got wet. And then, like, I went somewhere and they dried really quickly because it was still really hot.
and
they shrank.
They shrank. They shrank while I was wearing them.
Oh my God, you were like you're like a human dryer. You shrunk your own clothes on your own body.
It was really just quite pleasant.
That's very disgusting.
Ew. So I don't wear those pants anymore.
That is the opposite of a laundry success story.
Our ratings are about to tank.
I am not listening to this.
Well, you know what? I told Patrick, I was like, we should have Jalopnik like hoodies that say my hipster pants are too tight.
That's a great
like,
idea.
Like, I would wear that. I would 100% wear that hoodie.
Mm-hmm.
Oh my
God. You know, around the house. Okay, so Raph, tell us.
Oh, right.
Tell us your laundry success story.
One of my very few laundry successes. So, in some of my spare time, I engage as a rally co-driver. So in rally driving, you send a car off into the woods to drive as fast as possible. But since you're off driving in the middle of the woods and it's unclear where you're going, you need a navigator or a co-driver to tell the driver where to go. So that's my job. But since you're still in the race car, you need all of the proper gear. That's fireproof socks, a fireproof suit.
Wait, they're fireproof socks?
Yeah, they're
fireproof
socks.
Nobody ever told me about the socks.
Well, you need the socks.
And
you would also
you don't
wear
want toasty ankles.
You would. You're also supposed to, you're supposed to have shoes. In rallying, they don't really give a shit about your shoes. You're supposed to have gloves as well. For the co-drivers, you don't really need them. They don't have them because you have to turn pages of a book.
Okay.
In any case, I have to wear this fireproof suit. It's like a onesie. It's like a big old set of pajamas.
Mm-hmm.
And since you're in a car in the woods, not only is it hot, but like there's also times when you get just dusty and muddy. And at one point, our car stalled out in the middle of a stream that was filled. There was like a muddy.
Was this also when you flipped the car?
This was not a time when we rolled the car. This was the time when the wheel fell off.
Ah,
it was actually one of the two times that the wheel fell off.
Sure.
So there, like, I had been in this suit, like waist deep in mud water, trying to push a car out while like cars are blasting me with mud as they drive by. It's a item of clothing that gets a lot of use.
Right.
And this is the troubling part is, I never wanted to wash it.
Raph.
But there's
prison horror's already started.
Wait. Who sets out intentionally with an item of clothing going, I never want to wash this?
Have you read
The Traveling Pants? Have you read that book?
Trust me, I wanted to wash this, but I was deathly afraid.
He was afraid. It wasn't like he didn't want to wash it because it was his lucky baseball cap or anything like that.
It wasn't like I'm trying to build a good musk in this.
I was deathly afraid.
Yeah.
And I mean this
in
literally.
In a literal sense.
Well, because fire suits are not made out of like cotton. They're made out of Nomex, which is
correct.
Different.
It's magic fibers.
Mm-hmm.
I don't
know.
It's like me through.
Yeah.
A fireproof suit is fireproof because it has multiple layers of Nomex fabric woven into it. Nomex, right. Which is, that's the stuff that keeps the fire out.
Right. It's a flame retardant material.
Yeah.
As it turns out, it's not super flame retardant.
Okay.
It's just flame retardant enough.
Oh, right. Oh, so when they talk about layers of Nomex, so a three-layer suit might give you, like, what is it, like 5 seconds?
So the suit that I would wear or a suit that someone in my position would normally wear would give you anywhere between 3 and 10 seconds of exposure to fire before you get a second degree burn.
Okay.
That's not a lot of time
to stack, drop, and roll.
Yeah, and a second degree burn is when the nerves burn off, right? Yeah.
I don't know, and I don't want to know.
That's just blisters, maybe.
This is amount of time that you get to, let's say...
stop, drop, and roll.
Well...
Or be sprayed.
Or get out of the car.
Imagine stop, drop, and roll, except you've just been doing 60 miles an hour. You've now landed on your roof. You're belted in a 6-point racing seat belt, which you then have to crawl out of out of a cage of steel out of the car, and then you can stop, drop, and roll.
And you have so,
between seems like
3
a fun
and 10
hobby,
seconds.
Raph. Yeah.
Yes, this is why Top Fuel drag racers wear 21 layer suits, which give them slightly more.
Right.
Because those are the guys who are actually, if something goes wrong, they're engulfed in like methanol flames.
They're essentially driving a bomb. They're not driving a car.
Those guys have to wear extreme layers.
Yeah.
I, being just a schmuck, if you wanted to get into this,
a TV star schmuck.
Yes. if any random person listening was to get into rallying or something, this is the suit they would buy. I bought some OMP off of like some whatever suit.
What's OMP?
It's some Italian racing stuff manufacturer.
It's a brand.
Oh, okay. Oh, it's
they
a brand.
Make,
okay.
They Sorry, make helmets, remember, not, shoes, no, suits.
Not car person.
That's whatever. Excuse me.
Clean person, not car person.
I don't know anything about either. It was just the one that was right. affordable that I could buy. It was like a couple hundred. It's like a couple hundred bucks. It's not
right,
something
so it's
that
also
you want
not
to.
Super cheap. Like you want it to last and you want it to do its job.
Yeah.
And keep you from becoming engulfed in flame.
On it, on the suit, it has some very specific instructions okay. that are like, don't machine wash it. Don't mm-hmm. machine dry it. Mm-hmm. Leave it out to dry. Don't leave it out to dry where there's sun. Mm-hmm. Leave it like it. Like in the dark, mm-hmm. so somehow
is it one of those
dry.
Things like hand wash, but use a spoon, and then like turn once counterclockwise by a virgin and a full moon. Like
that is
those.
Precisely
yeah,
what
it
is
was
like.
Just my standard hand washing instructions.
Yeah, of course.
Yes,
yeah.
Normal for this show.
And so there I would be. I would like get back from the rally where I'm like in the stream, getting pelted by rocks from like a BMW or something, and then I'll look at my suit and there's like mud on it and stuff, and I'm like, great, time to wash it. And I'm like, if I wash this wrong.
You'll die. That's it.
Well, the thing is, Nomex is really like it's, you know, it's mithril. You don't know what's going on with it. And
right.
you're afraid, or at least I'm certainly afraid, that if I wash it wrong, the fireproofedness of it will be gone.
Right.
And there will be no physical evidence of it being gone.
Right.
I would wash it wrong, think everything was right, put it back on. Crash, get into a fire, and then burn.
And then you find out the hard way.
Oh, I guess it didn't work.
You wouldn't
right
know until it was
oh,
too late.
I guess I shouldn't have used the fabric softener.
Yeah. Right.
Oops. Oh, damn.
Which is actually one of the things that you can't use on fireproofing
yeah.
materials.
So I
brought, See, I did really, my research.
Really?
I
yeah, brought, yeah, yeah, no, research. Really, really. Wow.
So me being the co-driver, I brought this up with my driver after one rally, which we did after we flew off of a mountain.
And, oh, my God.
And flipped 360 degrees in the air and spun like a top. And I said, hey.
I know. I don't know how he's alive.
How did you ever get back in a car again?
That was a very tough 24 hours of my life.
I will say, though, so I had my first off while doing this show, and I didn't, like, physically hit anything. But I will say, after your first one and I didn't die, I was like, oh, my God, maybe this isn't so bad.
No, it's bad.
Wow.
It's really bad.
Yeah, that's how I know I'm going to die.
Okay.
Yeah.
You have a Yugo.
Dude.
Well, that's also how you're going to die in the Yugo. Okay, well, let's finish sharing. Okay, so you washed it.
I closed my eyes, and I was just like, Anyway, that's okay. Beside the point.
Okay, so how did you wash this?
So
actual
first thing I did was at that, I talked to my driver and he's like, oh, I've got this like special secret fireproof stuff, laundry detergent. Use this. So I borrowed it from him.
Okay. I mean, this did not come up in my research. This is fascinating.
It's called, I think, Molecule or something. It's in an opaque bottle that's like okay. black. It's got some blue stuff on it. Anyway. Okay.
Sounds very racer-ish.
Yes. So I borrowed it from this guy, and then my life being my life, I never really had time to really get into all this laundry stuff. He needed the stuff back. I returned it, but I took, like, a unit of it, which I kept in a container.
Okay.
But I had returned the whole bottle, which had all the instructions on it.
Okay.
So now I returned from shooting this TV show. I'm finally free. I finally have some time to myself, and I'm like, finally, I can actually do my laundry. I can actually do this right. And I'm like, wait a second. I no longer have the bottle with the instructions and I really don't know what I'm doing. And so I like texted this guy vigorously. He is, of course, off in like Colorado crossing a mountain or something. He can't
Flying
get back to
cliff.
Me.
Yeah.
Doing your usual stuff. But then I wrote to a woman who lives in New York City, Kiana Erickson Chang, mm-hmm. who's a rally driver and regularly posts about all of her clean tips.
Yes.
Who you should meet.
And you're just telling me about her now?
She
oh, sorry.
Is
yeah.
incredible.
Kiana Erickson Chang. Yeah, she's great.
Amazing.
So I sent okay. off a massive flurry of text to her of just like, hey, I'm prepared finally, now that I have a free day to myself, after being like ferried around the country in vans, driving cars, doing this and doing that. I'm like thrilled to do laundry. I'm like, Kiana, I'm ready to do the most labor-intensive
Yay,
laundry that's
one of
possible.
Us,
well,
one of us.
Here's the thing about Raf and him being thrilled to do laundry. I don't believe a word that Raf says, but I believe that because while we were off shooting the show, he tells me he has three loves in this world.
Mm-hmm.
And cars,
yeah,
that's number three.
Yeah.
Ooh.
The first love is birds.
Love them.
Sorry. Yeah.
Mysterious creatures.
Sorry, forgive me.
And the second is doing dishes.
What? Yeah. Raph?
True, it's true.
Yeah.
You find it soothing?
Extremely.
Yeah.
Oh, I hate it.
Unbelievably.
Yes. Yeah. It's satisfying because you you've completed a task and you've done it well.
And you can see the results sitting right there.
I very briefly worked doing dishes at a scientific lab.
What?
Where you don't just, like, you don't
I thought, like, you worked at, like, the Jewish Genealogical Society and then Jalopnik, and that was your entire career experience. Is that not correct?
Washing dishes for scientists is fantastic because there are all these procedures. They're like, well, this kind of, like, tube you need to wash with cold water, then wash twice with warm water, then wash with soap, then wash it again in warm water, then cold water, and then, like I said, after drying, whatever.
Yep.
That's like hours of a day, and you're just sitting there with headphones on, just like scrubbing.
Sounds perfect.
It's fantastic.
Sounds off.
Yeah.
In any case, I sent out this massive flurry of text, and then she was just like, Kiana finally gets back to me and is like, oh, no, just like, you could do that, but you don't have to. If you have this detergent, you can just wash it like absolutely normally.
Yeah.
Completely normally.
So actually, here's the other thing. You don't even need the special detergent.
What?
Yeah.
So here are the things that you and I'm gonna say.
I had also been told by the rally driver, his mom had also given me some very weird instructions of like, you must machine dry it until it is bone dry, is what she said. Whereas the item of clothing said, do not under any circumstances machine dry it. This is, again, me standing there in front of the laundry machine, in front of the washing machine, holding my, like, life in my hands. And I'm like,
Yeah. When in doubt, follow the manufacturer instructions on the item of clothing. Although I will say it's not infallible. I personally know someone who I used to work with who followed care instructions on the tag of a dress that was – I think it was rayon viscose, and the tag said hand wash, cold water, and actually rayon viscose is allergic to water. Like, you can't expose it to water at all, and the dress, like, shrunk
Dear
up,
God.
And it was, like, a total loss. And the company was like, oh, yeah, whoops. So, like, it's not infallible, but like, yeah, generally speaking, you always want to follow the instructions on the tag and not what someone's mom tells you,
right?
Because moms are great, but moms aren't always right despite what they think.
Yes,
someone gotta tell my mom that.
My mom cannot
don't tell my
podcast.
Mom I said that don't tell my mom I said that yeah, no mom don't listen to this. Okay, so here are the I'm gonna do some more research because first of all I want to find out what this detergent is.
Yeah.
I want to do a deep dive into this because this is like a fascinating and weird clean person topic, right?
I mean, yes.
Special fabrics.
I will say that the very long story short version of this is that there is great fear and apprehension before doing laundry of this type or really of any type, but really reach out to the people who you know who are familiar with this stuff. Break through the realm of unfamiliarity, and it's probably not as scary as you think it is.
Right, ask for help. But you're right to be cautious with this kind of thing because, I mean, this is a safety issue.
Yeah, and it's not like a dress that shrinks. It's like it would look totally fine up until you're like, ooh, I really missed that arm.
I lost a dress I really like versus I lost my life. Yeah. Like, yeah, it's not, you can't really compare it. Okay, so here are the basics of any kind of fire retardant clothing and washing it.
Great.
And I'm going to do a deeper dive, and I am going to do a whole column on it, and we're going to, like, get weird, and it's going to be exciting. Okay, so, like, they're basically the big things are that there are some no-nos. There are products you don't want to use that will affect the fire retardant, i.e. make it no longer fire retardant, i.e. Raph is on fire.
Yeah.
And we don't want that. Okay, so you can't use chlorine bleach, and you can't use any detergents that have bleach in them, so, like, Tide with bleach is out. So you want to be really careful that you're, like...
Wait, can I ask you something?
Yes.
Tide? So
there's, it's
like,
literally in the job description, Balaban.
Okay.
Of course you
okay.
can ask me
okay.
something.
I got this. I got a question. Tide with bleach alternative, right? That's not bleach, though.
That's not bleach. That, so that's okay to use.
It doesn't really seem to work either, but, you know, it's not bleach.
The Tide that you want that really works is the Tide Ultra Stain Release.
Ah.
That's the best
I will
Tide.
Keep this in mind.
That's the best. That Tide is actually like
I use Trader Joe's
amazing.
Brand detergent.
Mm. You want to use whatever you like.
And it has nothing special in it. I have sensitive skin, so I get like allergic reactions to weird shit. So that's kind of why
you put it on the clothes, Kristen, not yourself.
So the thing is, let's like detour just a tiny bit, but like this is another conversation for another day. The thing about most skin reactions to detergent don't actually have to do with the detergent itself. It has to do with the fact that you're using too much and there's residue left in your clothes. Mm-hmm. And the soap residue is what's causing the reaction, not the actual detergent itself. So the way to combat that is to not overdose on your detergent. And also if your machine offers it, to use the extra rinse cycle to make sure that all the product is coming out. And then you shouldn't have any kind of sensitive skin issues. But also use what you like. Okay, so back to our no-nos. No products with animal fats in them. So some people use like, you know, hippie detergents or natural detergents, or they make their own, and they're using some soaps that have animal fats, and the animal fats obviously are flammable.
Yeah.
So if you wash them into your fireproof suit.
Yeah, this has gone very wrong.
No, I've already said this, but I'm going to say it again because it's my favorite thing in the world to say. No fabric softener. No fabric softener. Don't use liquid fabric softener. Don't use dryer sheets. None of it. None. They are flammable. They will leave a coating behind. They will turn you into...
Wait, is this like advice for life? Like, just so you know, if you use fabric softener, you're extra flammable.
Kind of. And it was actually, it's actually a thing with a lot of children's clothing. That a lot of children's clothing has fire retardant in it. And then people wash them.
Because kids set themselves on fire a lot.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Think back. Yeah. Think back to your childhood.
I have not been blessed yet.
And like children's bedding and stuff like that will have fire retardant in it. And then people wash it with fabric softener in it.
Wait, why do we stop? It's not like when we get older, we like.
Stop lighting fire.
I don't know. Why did I stop?
Kids are running around in Nomex suits all the time.
Industry standard.
That's awesome.
I don't know. I'll look into that more. I don't know why it's something specific to kids' clothes, but I know that it's a thing. Okay, the other thing is don't use not that you're out there like starching and pressing your
oh my god. I would love to meet the race car driver.
It's like a very, very natty race car driver. But no starch. Okay, so you can wash these things in the machine. You want to turn them inside out to wash them. You can use pre-treatment sprays, so like, you know, if some of the like mud stains were particularly egregious, you could use a shout or a spray and wash or a zout. Any one of those are fine.
And
just
also,
as long as they don't have bleach in them, which you know wouldn't probably use anyway, just because anyway you probably wouldn't use it. One last kind of big thing, which is that if you live in an area that has hard water versus soft water, so you want to wash the suits ideally in soft water. But sometimes we don't have control over that. And so if you do have hard water, you have to be super, super, super careful not to overdo it on the detergent and not to overdose. Because what will happen, kind of like with Kristen's sensitive skin thing, is that the detergent will not rinse out as fully in a hard water situation as in a soft water situation. And when there is detergent residue, even if it's not animal fat detergent, it can act as an accelerant for flame.
So if I was still living in my hometown, which is all well water, then, yeah, I would have to be a little bit more careful.
Yes, exactly. Mm-hmm.
Thank
exactly.
God I don't live there.
It tastes fantastic. Yeah. I will say this for the end of the story.
Okay.
When it was all said and done, I cannot tell you how satisfying it was.
I'm so glad to hear that.
Unbelievable.
I love a satisfying laundry story.
And it was like, not only was it physically quite nice just to have a real clean suit, but it was very nice to have surmounted this this personal fear of I screw up my laundry like 99 times out of 100, but this one time when it actually counted, I did it right.
We think. We were going to have you wear the suit and throw lit matches at you in the studio. That'll be a video.
We'll get there. We'll do that.
I'll come into the office and throw some lit matches at you. All right, you guys, we have a question. Battleman, I'm going to have you read Jackie's question.
Okay, I'll read the question.
Yeah.
Uh-oh. Jackie writes, hey.
Hey.
Hey. Let me start by saying you are a gorgeous, knowledgeable goddess. This is about me, right?
Yes, it is about you.
And you have brought me so much happiness. Love you. Mean it.
Love you too, Jackie.
I don't know if I'm too late for your car app. You're not, Jackie. But I'm riding around with my hubby today, and I have a car question. His car, BMW in parentheses, is around 10 years old, and the handle on the inside has some sort of plastic coating that has started to melt off. Obvi, only on my side. It has resulted in an annoying, sticky situation that I always forget about until it's too late, and the goo has gunked up on my hand. Any suggestions? Thanks, Jackie.
Kristen's literally, like, flinching right now.
It says thanks with multiple S's there. I said
That's
it right.
not why she's
You didn't
flinching.
Say it right. You didn't say it right. You said with multiple A's. It's supposed to be multiple S's.
Thanks.
Yeah, there you go.
So, you guys, Jackie sent this question literally today, and so I swapped it in because I was like, actually, this is a really good one. Yeah. I have some ideas, but I actually wanted to ask Kristen. It sounds like there's something in the car that's deteriorated, right?
Yeah. So it's what it sounds like is the coating, I guess, around the door handle that'll make it like shiny, or I don't know why, but there's usually like a coating there, mm-hmm. and it sounds like that coating is peeling off.
Right.
So I feel like nail polish remover would take it off.
Okay.
I don't know. I've never tried it. Like, I feel it happening in my own car, and I just like ignore it until it's a real issue.
I'm curious why it's only happening on her side of the car.
Maybe it's happening on his and he's just not saying anything.
It's possible. Or it may be some like old plastic which is deteriorating in sunlight and it's like parked in a certain way.
I mean, we're confident it's not Jackie's acid hands, right?
Like,
You never know.
I actually was going to say maybe it's something like she wears like a certain kind of like hand lotion or, that's causing it.
Well, the other question is also like, determining what exactly this gunk is made of. Is it like you said, Kristen, is it like a varnish that was applied in the factory to make it shiny? Or is it something that like somebody's applied after as like an aftermarket thing?
No, I don't think it's an aftermarket thing. I think it's just a varnish they put on the plastic to make it less dull and look better. And
yeah.
It probably is not lasting. And it could be because it sounds like it's on the inside of the door handle.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I don't know what Jackie's habits are, but maybe she holds on to it when she's riding in the car and her husband's got both hands on the wheel, so it just has less contact with mm-hmm. like the oils in your skin. I don't know. So I would think maybe
just like acetone?
Yeah. Just to take it off. I mean,
okay.
Like it'll probably take off the whole thing.
It's fine if it's like breaking down, better to have it all even and off. Yeah. I was going to say rubbing alcohol or like even like hand sand because she says she only notices it when she gets in. And I was like, oh, she probably has hand sanitizer in her purse, which has a ton of alcohol in it.
Yeah.
So like, yeah, Jackie, you might want to just try that.
The other thing that's crossing my mind is since this it may not need something taken off of it, it may need something added to it. Am mm-hmm. I crazy in that? Because I had a 90s...
Like a refinishing of whatever
exactly.
it was.
See, I had a 90s Lexus, and that thing was always just like, it was all these plastics, which were just deteriorating over time. And like, there are products which will sort of revitalize some of those plastics and leathers and sort of stuff like that.
Do you know what they're called?
I haven't the slightest. I never cared. It was a junky old car. And I was just like, whatever. But there are people who do care, and there are like products for all this stuff.
Okay.
It may not be that there's something extra on it which needs to be removed. It may be that there is something, you know, that needs to be
replenished.
It may be skin that needs moisturizing,
right.
to
refinished
so to speak.
I guess would be the better word for it
is my only other thought.
Okay. All right. I think this is great. I think this is helpful. And Jackie, you let us know what you try and what works, and if you still can't fix it, come on back and we will find out what those products are called. We'll do a deeper dive. All right. So on that note, this is a good time for us to take a quick break. Kristen, Mike, Raff, and I will be right back with more about cars. Specifically, we are going to move into the holiday car disaster portion of proceedings. This is Ask a Clean Person, the podcast.
Cool. Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Welcome back to Ask a Clean Person, the podcast. I'm Jolie Kerr, and I'm joined by Jalopnik's Kristen Lee, Mike Balaban, and Raph Orlov. We've been talking about cars. What if I was like, we've been talking about women's issues and...
Bring it on.
I'm happy to discuss this. And, the issues not discussed
and
enough.
And gadgets.
Yeah. Sure.
Less capable.
All right. So
I would love a women's issue podcast with the Jalopnik boys. Like, I really would.
I would listen to that.
Go right ahead.
I would love it. What are your thoughts on lived lives?
Like,
what are your thoughts on bralettes, everyone?
We could just call it like
Jezopnik issues, but
it would be great. Like when Jezebel and Deadspin do the swap and it's Jezespin.
Oh yeah. We were
Jezopnik.
Well, we were always gonna switch with Gawker because like Jalopnik traditionally was the most quote unquote conservative because we're all just socialists. And we were gonna switch with Gawker for April Fools.
I would have read the hell out of that.
Yeah. It would have been a weird website.
You know what I was just talking about?
Too bad that can never happen.
I know.
Oh.
Damn.
You know what I was just talking about with someone the other day? I go back and revisit this like at least once a year just to like lift my spirits. The weekend that Corey Sika took over Deadspin.
Oh, yeah.
I wasn't reading that. It's still there. You can go find it.
There was that. And then also the day that AJ took over Jezebel.
Yes.
And he posted his
phone
number.
The hand job thing.
Oh, my God. And he was like, call me.
Oh, my God.
I forgot about that part. Because all I remembered about that was his like defense of the hand job. it was just an incredible.
If you could control Jezebel for one day. Oh, God.
It was an incredible piece of journalism.
Yeah.
Anyway, all right. We can't get too into too insidery, because we have to freak out Kristen.
Oh yeah, I
have one that like freaked me out in my relationship.
Tell us.
And it involves Thanksgiving too.
Oh,
what?
Oh my God! You want to know right now?
Yes.
How timely!
It's not a Thanksgiving episode. It's a holiday Jill episode.
Okay, so I had started dating my now wife, then girlfriend. In July of whatever year that was, 2011, and
this is going to come back in the quiz. I hope you know that.
Oh yeah,
this is a quiz question.
Oh great, there's a quiz.
She has a quiz.
Oh gosh.
Yep.
Okay.
Surprise.
So, by a couple months later, Thanksgiving, it was like the time for us to start meeting each other's families, like extended families, not just mom and dad. And we were driving up to my aunt and uncle for Thanksgiving. They live in Rockland County, which is about, I'd say 30, 40 miles outside of New York City, to the north. And we were bringing up, so it was me, my brother, my now wife, and our then dog in the car, who has since passed, RIP.
Okay.
So I was in the front seat. I was in the passenger seat. My dad was driving. Girlfriend, brother, dog in the back. And girlfriend was holding, now wife, Olga. She was lovely. I'll just call her by her name. That's so much easier. Olga was holding a big bowl of homemade cranberry mint sauce. And also trying to hold on to the dog. My dog is one of those dogs that's not like, oh my God, let's stick my head out the window and see. Nor is it the type of dog that's like, let's just stay here quietly. My dog was like, let's look at all the windows simultaneously. So it's going back and forth. And eventually, at some point, it just sticks its paw right into the cranberry sauce.
Oh.
And it spilled everywhere, like all over the car seats. It looked like a murder scene because it's red. So it's just everywhere. And this is cloth, too. It's not leather. So in this Honda, it's just red all over the cloth seats.
Cloth seats. Always.
Yeah, always. I'm freaking out because I'm like, oh my God, this is so embarrassing. This is so embarrassing. This is still my new girlfriend. I'm like, I'm trying to impress her. I don't want anything to go wrong. I mean, I'm still trying to impress her. That's how marriage works. But,
the cutest thing in the world.
It's everywhere. Oh, and I'm mortified. Man. I'm mortified. I'm like, I'll clean it up. And Olga's like, no, it's fine. It's fine. It's fine. I think what the eventual solution was, like, my dad was just like, well, the car's red now.
What?
Yeah.
No.
But then after we got married, I was talking about this incident with my wife because it was like so like it had scarred me. Like we could have broken up and then like we never would have gotten married. She's so wonderful. It would have been horrible. And then she was like, oh, no. I thought you were going to think that like I had screwed it up entirely and I couldn't control a dog or something.
Oh,
and like,
oh,
yeah.
No.
And I was like, no. So it was like this mess in a car. It was a real like catalyst that we were like, oh my God, this is
we're
something
meant to
so
be.
Horrible. Yeah, clearly.
Oh,
clearly.
Darling.
I believe that car got scrapped with red still all over it.
Yeah.
But, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah. That was.
Was there like red, but like a lap in the red where it was like a break in the red? It was like a lap there?
Well,
where
she was sitting? I think it was like she was sitting in the right side and it was on her left leg and the dog stepped in it. And it just, like, went straight down into the middle.
Okay.
So it was just like,
God.
Oh, the dog was red. Yeah. It was a thing. Yeah.
I once, at a friend's house, I was visiting a friend. She had to work late. Her husband and I were very close. We all went to college together, so we had all known each other for 1,000 years. So her husband and I were cooking dinner together, waiting for her to come back, and they had a white dog. And I forget if we like knocked over a bottle or a glass, but we spilled red wine all over the dog.
Oh my God.
It was
yeah.
like just trashed. Like we were like, oh shit, how are we gonna explain this to my life?
I love that image so much.
You just gotta be like, hey, the dog was drinking. All right, I don't know. I don't know why.
Dog's a sloppy drunk.
Dog got into the wine. All right, speaking of terrible spells, I did something kind of mean. But I will have you guys know that I did this because I was like, oh, I'm going to torment Kristen. And then the very first response that came in owned me so hard. And I was oh no, now I've been tormented. So like God punished me.
It was me.
God really, really punished me. So,
what did I write? Please remind me.
So I put out a call on Twitter for the worst food spills in people's cars.
Yeah.
And I was like, we're doing the holiday jalap episode and like Kristen's coming back and we're going to talk about food and cars because this is the season for food and cars.
Yeah.
And I was like, I want to hear about the worst thing that you guys have spilled. So I have them all. I'm going to read them off and we can all just groan because they're so bad. But literally, here's the first one. So longtime listeners will know that I am deathly afraid of turmeric, which is that brightly colored
orangey yellow spice
that's commonly used in Indian cooking that gives curries that kind of distinctive hue. And in fact, one of my aunties was taunting me on email today about turmeric. And I was like, auntie, that's not nice. You have to stop that. She loves to do it. She thinks it's hilarious. I don't think it's hilarious. So even though I am, you know, more Punjabi than I am anything else, though I don't look it, I do not allow turmeric in my home. It's like, it's the stainiest substance in the world. It's like turmeric number one, cranberry pomegranate number two, red wine number three.
Sure.
Like.
Wait, cranberry pomegranate?
Cranberry and pomegranate.
Yeah, it's delicious.
Are equally
stainy though.
But
stainy. Like you're never.
Wait, so you preclude things from your home no matter how scrumptious they may be.
Just turmeric.
Because,
my mom did not want me to, like, look at a pomegranate growing up.
Yeah,
she was like, don't.
Don't
touch it.
Don't.
If there's a pomegranate bush.
She was wise.
Across the street.
She's wise. Yeah. She was wise to instill the fear of God and pomegranates in you.
So good. Delicious.
They are quite delicious. But there's a reason that they're associated with Hades. They are an evil.
Oh, my God.
An
That's
evil
true.
Fruit.
Not in Judaism.
That's true. Oh, it's like with the harvest.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. They're fine.
Okay. Just stay away from the turmeric as a thing. Okay, so here's the very first. I put out this call on Twitter, and here is the very first response that I get. Curry, Jolie. Bright yellow, fragrantly delicious curry. Who is transporting curry? And eating curry in their car,
I feel like curry is the worst item to be eating while you're driving.
Like really
definitively.
Bad, really, really bad.
I find it hard to argue.
Although
any form of like liquidy, like
possibly, but when you hear some of the other ones, you might rethink that. Yeah. I mean, I don't know.
Lay it on me.
They're all bad. I'm just gonna say they're all bad.
Yeah.
All right, another one. In our mad rush to go off campus to get lunch in high school and scarf it in the car, a friend mashed burrito into the back of my headrest.
Damn. No more friends.
Wait, I'm trying to think the position you'd have to be holding the burrito to mash it into the back of a headrest. It's got to be like you're throwing a football and then just
be eating it. I feel like it was someone in the back seat and it mashed forward.
So their face had to go into it.
The face on the other end of the burrito?
Is that what happened?
This is
a physics problem I've never encountered.
It's curious, right?
Well, a good way to eat a burrito would be like up.
Yeah.
But you could eat a burrito horizontally.
Yeah,
I feel technically.
But like horizontally is
like
a weird
pressing
way
to eat a burrito.
You guys can't see us because this is a podcast, but the hand gestures going on right now have gotten like, we're to the point of inappropriate
just
for
like
coworkers
a,
to be doing
like
in front
a,
one another.
You could just have a burrito they'd be
this
eating.
Is science,
like,
Jolie. This is science.
You know what? This is why I need cameras in this
it's
video.
A two, Jolie, it's a two-handed operation.
Yeah.
Just to go back
for
to
everyone.
If it's
a
proper burrito, it's two-handed.
Defense of the hand job on Jezebel.
Indeed.
All right. Speaking of burritos, the next one I got was someone wrote salsa on two
Ooh,
separate occasions.
Damn.
Two? You didn't learn the first time?
Yeah, you would think the first time.
The fuck? I feel like the first time you'd be like, all right, none of that again.
Can you imagine the next time someone's like, hey, do you mind if I bring this open container of salsa into your car? And then being like,
do you want to fucking walk?
No, they were like, clearly had to have been like, go ahead, do it. Great idea.
Yeah, sure. It'll be fine. You got it, right?
All right, this one's going to make you nuts. I can't decide which of the two of you are going to go more nuts over this one, but I know you're going to go nuts. The next one, I dumped an entire bowl of spaghetti and meatballs into my sister's back seat. It was probably 15 years ago.
What did she
wait,
did she sleep with her husband? Why did
she
do that?
That's the thing. Kristen's absolutely right. I dumped. This means like
It was active. Yes. What did she do?
I did it.
Did she like steal the 401k? Like, what did she do?
I went into her car and I just dumped it right on the back.
Dumped her and I wrecked that bitch.
No regrets.
Wow, spaghetti and meatballs. What are you
doing? What are you eating? A bowl of spaghetti and meatballs in a moving vehicle? Like, what? How? I can't even.
I dumped. It's like, I can't get past that.
I dumped.
Like any food type. That was like, I threw it right in there.
Dump also implies a certain volume of the food. Because if
it's
a small personal portion, it's only going to be spilled.
This
to
is not
dump,
like a,
you have to
you're
have
saying
at
this
least
is not a Chef Boyardee personal cup.
To dump,
this
you need at least 4 to 5 persons worth of food.
Yes, that's what dumping implies.
A whole.
So just, maybe we shouldn't be so rude because this could be spaghetti and meatballs, which are being transported to a potluck.
Yeah,
for instance.
No, but
and
this
then
is definitely
there's some
vindictive
sort of comedic.
This is why all potlucks are held in my house, so yeah. I don't need to transport
smart
the food.
This is smart,
brilliant.
Mm-hmm. People
maybe
think they're
the
like, "Oh, Kristen, she's just like hosting. She's so nice." No, it's because I don't need to transport the food.
Smart.
Yep. Fair
thinking
enough.
Thinking it through.
Fair enough. All right. Here
makes me wonder what the safest and most clean to bring to a potluck food would be.
Bag of
cheese and crackers.
No, what if you were like, I'll have a little nibble just to make sure they're good, and it's just crumbs everywhere.
Why would you do that?
Why would you do that?
Just do that at home.
Just a little nibble?
No.
No, you can't nibble on the food.
I'm thinking like a fruit roll-up, because like that never.
That doesn't crumb, Balaban.
Exactly.
What?
Exactly.
He's
yeah, he's
a
saying
good
that's
food.
The
best
oh,
food in
okay
the car.
Bring
okay
fruit roll-ups
it's
to
like
a potluck.
Fruit by the foot? Oh,
I
my God,
like
yeah.
Why would you bring that
I
to a potluck?
I feel like I just heard a disaster story about a fruit roll-up that I can't remember now. I'm going to like go search my archives.
Please do. Let me know
I think you might
if
be
my
wrong
plan
that
is flawed.
I don't know. If you guys out there mm-hmm can think of the most perfect food to transport in a car to a potluck, what about like astronaut ice cream?
Oh, that's brilliant.
I think I won.
Also crumbly. Also crumbly,
top,
but it can't melt.
If you can top
you leave it in a cot
astronaut
car
ice cream.
Yeah.
With portable
good
food.
One.
I would also
let
be interested in what everyone's most secure food traveling
method?
Method.
Okay, well, we're going to do that.
I mean,
okay. We're going to do that.
A lockable safe, obviously.
Yeah.
Yes, just a full FedEx 500 pounds. Yeah, ship it.
send it by Uber in someone else's car. Okay, here we have. I have a bunch more of these. There were a lot of these actually. This was a good Twitter question to throw out. People were very excited about this one. Pineapple glaze off a cake. I was in a hurry and didn't let the glaze set, and my cake carrier leaked all over my passenger
seat. See, this is carrier responsibility. Yep. You know,
this one hurts.
I'm more curious about pineapple glaze.
Yeah, like a glaze.
Yeah, like a
whenever I.
Like, so you could have like a drizzle, and it could, or you could have like a.
I just didn't set up, so it was still liquidy.
Yeah,
it's delicious.
I'll bring you a bundt cake.
Oh, great!
Bundt.
All right, this one's gonna hurt you guys. You guys, just brace. Ready? A pan of baked beans large enough to feed a JV football team spilling in the back of your mom's van.
That was definitely towards a team dinner, wasn't it?
Yeah, there had to be a JV team here.
Yes.
Yep.
Yeah.
Who brings a...
Painful, but at least they used the word spilled.
No, why don't. Would you bring yeah. baked beans to an event that you're going
JV
to?
A JV football team. Like, they're not gassy enough already.
Well, that's also... Like, you're just so prone to hijinks. Just think the hijinks for opportunities are astronomical.
Here's another this one. This hurts because it's like it's so easy to do.
Can you imagine having baked beans everywhere? Jesus.
It actually it looks enough like vomit when like spread out to begin with.
I'm sorry.
I'm like,
I can't get this.
And I've had vomit in a car before.
There's it's so fascinating many, which vomit. Ones upset you guys more.
You got the sauce vomit. And the beans.
It's bad.
They're little tiny beans everywhere.
And it's sugary and starchy, so it's like a double whammy in terms of like...
It's going to set.
Yeah, it's bad. Yeah. It's bad.
No, but I've had vomit in a press car. And
what?
Yeah. I sort of got it out, but I'll let every manufacturer listening try to figure out if it's their car.
What?
Whose vomit was it?
Don't worry about it.
Was it your vomit?
Mike, it was someone else's vomit. Mm-hmm.
You're a terrorist. I can't tell you whose car it was.
I'm not under oath.
It's terrible. Bad.
Oh, you are. You signed that thing when you came in. Yeah, that was. Yeah. Sorry
got
about me. That. All right, we've gone. Let's move on from this very upsetting baked bean incident.
Yeah.
All right, this one's upsetting because it could happen to all of us. Just forgetting a grocery bag with raw meat in the trunk. While the car sits in the garage over a hot summer weekend.
Weekend? Count. Oh, my God.
Yes.
Who is not doing an inventory check when you get home?
I can imagine that must be a putrid smell, but does it liquefy? Does it spread out? I don't know. I haven't.
I'm pretty sure it eats the plastic out of the bottom of the container.
Or is it just cooked? Does it just cook? Like, if it's hot enough?
No.
I don't know. I'm...
I don't want to talk about that.
This one's better.
I think
there are
good ways that you can, like... Don't you like leave orange peel in the vehicle to get?
I mean,
the
that's
smell
not really gonna. That's not gonna.
I feel
it,
like
right?
there's something that's like enzymatic that could work.
There is stuff, and we're gonna talk about those things. Here, actually,
nature's miracle.
Actually, this is kind of it's not enzyme. You don't want to use enzyme. That's for stains. You want to use. There's some. We're gonna talk about odor
we'll
removal.
Get
we'll get there. friend had a 5-pound bag of ground coffee split open in his car. Took forever to vacuum it all up, and car smelled like coffee for months. Now, here's actually the thing. Coffee grounds are one of the things that remove odors from cars.
I was going to say coffee grounds.
Then the car probably is going to smell like coffee grounds.
But you know, if your car smells like coffee, it's not so bad.
That's not the worst thing. It's not so bad.
Think about your morning commute. That's like, it just would break, brighten
you
right
up.
You wouldn't even need to drink coffee.
You know what? That's a tip. That's not a complaint. That's just a tip right there.
Yeah. Also, for the vacuuming, you should have been using a shop vac for that job.
Yeah.
Because 5 pounds of coffee grounds is like, that's shop vac.
That's not for your dust buster.
No, that's shop vac time.
Should I buy a shop vac?
And great excuse to buy a shop. Yes. Oh, my God. You don't have a shop vac? All right. We're going to talk.
Damn.
Thank God. I'm writing for Jalopnik now. Thank God. You guys, I didn't know how badly you needed me.
That's going to be an article.
We need a lot.
The article is just going to be, should I buy a shop vac? And the article will just be, yes. That's the whole article. It's like, just do if you've been thinking about it, just do it.
It's going to be the easiest column I'll ever write. All right, here are some more. Holiday themed, purpley red liquid from an uncooled mixed berry pie while on our way to Thanksgiving out of state. I think lessons here is let the foods cool before you transport them.
This all stinks of poor planning.
But this is also more of a baking tip than a cleaning tip.
That.
But use arrowroot to thicken the pie a little bit. That way it won't be so liquidy
How
and spilled.
Do you know that?
Don't worry about it.
Mike comes from a long line of bakers.
Yeah. That's right. We discussed this today.
Yeah. I actually do too. And I'm a very good baker, which is why I'm going to make you this bundt pan.
I'm a terrible baker.
With the pineapple glaze. Okay, here's one more. Actually, we have a couple of desserts. This was sad. A vanilla sheet cake.
Aww.
I just felt that was like that poor sheet cake.
That was for an event.
That's
that
a waste
like
of a
birthday.
Good sheet cake. Yeah,
that was for like a party.
Yeah, I love a sheet cake.
Or just an awesome person I just made a sheet.
Yeah, or that. Oh, this one's painful. Raspberry Jello that went unnoticed for a long summer weekend. Ooh. Slipped under seat and melted there. Never didn't smell like raspberry flavor again.
Hmm. Oh, well, I'm curious, what did it smell like?
It smelled like raspberry.
Oh, yeah. I thought it said never did it. It didn't smell like raspberry.
Never didn't smell like raspberry flavor again.
So yeah. Always smelled like raspberry.
Always smelled
like raspberry. It's a double
raspberry.
Negative.
Yes.
Here's another painful one. A crock pot full of refried beans. After months, it still smelled when the air / any air went through the vents. Now, I would take the refried
the
over
vents.
The baked just because they're not as vents. Soupy.
Now,
in the
I
vents.
Have... I have as,
what are you doing in your cars?
I once did a request for comment of people with the worst and grossest spills in their cars, and there was a description of a drunk friend attempting to not vomit in the car.
Okay.
And instead vomited into a vent.
Oh, God.
Oh, my God. I think, actually...
I'm never
and
eating
it
again.
It is cleanable. It's just...
It's just really hard. Yeah.
It just is difficult, or perhaps it would simply require some disassembly.
Yes.
But you should not... I stress that these are not life-ending, permanent
vomit into
problems.
Your lap if you're in the car, you guys. Like, don't... Just...
Take one for the team.
Yeah,
Jesus.
Just, like, yes. Just go straight down, do it into your lap. Like, there's probably going to be some that gets on the seat and maybe on the floor, but, like, you'll spare the vents and you'll... So this was actually one that I
mean,
answered.
I would say floor. I would say floor first.
Yeah, because it's easy to take the floor mats out.
I've cleaned it. It's not the hardest thing to do.
We actually, when I had Freddie Hernandez on the show back during like the first iteration of Ask a Clean Person on the podcast, one of the questions that I had him help me with was someone who got sick in the car and it got into the speakers, the side speakers.
Ooh.
You know that?
Yeah.
Like.
I mean, you're the cleaning expert, but I would just be like, chuck them. Get new
yeah.
speakers.
Well, that
that's
one,
it.
In that case, like, yeah. I had Freddie basically answering all the questions. His response to literally everything was throw it away, get a new one. Like, throw away the seat,
well,
get a new one, replace the
that's
seat,
exactly,
replace
no,
the
no, no, no.
Which
I'm,
is right, though.
Well, it's sort of right. And I agree with Freddie in concept, but I think
it's hard to just but, do a full stop.
Well, that's the thing. I think
I agree with Freddie. Full stop is a very hard statement for
it's a
any
very
of us to
yeah,
make.
It's a tough statement.
We love you, Freddie, but
I agree in concept, but I think you should be throwing out the whole car.
Yeah,
just burn it. Get
simple.
Rid of it.
Not everyone
it'll
has
never
Yugos, Balaban.
Well, maybe they should.
Are you going to throw out the Yugo? You love that car. You would never throw it out. You would save it.
Balaban was just telling me today the Yugo is not a car.
It's not a car.
Don't let him hear you say that.
I like it, but it's not a car.
Let me quickly tie this back to Car versus America and our very first episode, which is available on YouTube.
Good plug.
Also on jalopnik.com.
In the very first episode, we disassembled a car because we went skid plate racing.
Yes.
And to do that, you need to absolutely strip the interior. Again, they don't wear fireproof gear, but what they do instead is they just tear out all the flammable things in the car in the hopes of minimizing their fire damage, their danger.
Oh, I thought it was just to make the car lighter.
Also.
Okay.
I mean, skid plate racing, you're going so slow, it doesn't really
matter.
The
long and short of it is it's way easier to take apart your car than you imagine.
Yes.
Yeah. It would be really scary. Like, if you tug just slightly harder than usual on your seat, it'll come right
out.
It
comes out. Well, that's the thing. Like, I didn't...
It's so scary.
Wait, well, that's the thing. Freddie taught me that. Like, I didn't know... I mean, well, I don't even know how to drive
yeah,
a
you
car.
Just, yeah, you just...
I know literally right. any of this, right? But like, yeah, you can take the seat out to clean it, and which we're gonna get into.
Oh my God! I'm totally forgetting. I totally disassembled the interior of my car and then like fully cleaned it, and my.
Oh, he blogged about
God.
It.
How did I miss
oh,
this?
Man.
One of the most satisfying
when
things
did you
I've
do
ever
this?
Done. This
was it when I was in exile at Hearst? It probably was.
It possibly was, and I was also on like a massive cross country journey.
Okay.
Across the country, I was sort of like. Here and there and
okay.
blogging from the side of the road and on okay. the way to North Carolina.
After he wrote that story, I was like, Rav, we should clean the outside too. I'll help you. So he like came over.
Oh, wait, was it when you were already working at Jalopnik?
Yeah.
Oh, then it was when I was in exile at Hearst because you started right after I left.
This was like over
time.
The summer.
Yeah.
This was over
end
the summer.
Of the summer.
Okay.
So he brought his car over to my place in New Jersey, my parents' place, and like we cleaned it and we buffed it and everything. And
I
he was running the clay
invited.
Bar over it. And he was like, what's all this stuff coming off? I was like, that's the dirt. That's the dirt coming off of it.
It was amazing. But taking apart the interior, so I had the seats out. I replaced my seats. But I took out the back seats and the front seats.
You didn't replace the seats. You replaced the seats with a block of wood.
Well, the back seats, I actually did do a little crafty project, which I replaced the back seats with a deck. There's a stained wood deck in the back of my car. Wood.
And he put like a nice throw blanket back there.
It's true.
So pretty.
It always makes me glad when I'm reminded that, like, not only am I not the weirdest person at GMG, I'm like not even close to the weirdest person at GMG.
No. Oh, no.
Like, the cleaning enthusiast falls like somewhere smack in the middle of the weird scale.
Yeah, it gets dark.
Yeah. But no, like, everything out, carpets out. Replace the carpet, by the way, which is a joy. But,
beautiful.
Like, vacuuming, like, bits of dust that have been there since 74. Like wire brush cleaning off like little bits underneath where they're like
metal
tracks.
Oh, you went full Jolly Care. You use specialty tools.
You
can't stop.
And then you're
the thing. Like cleaning is like Pringles. Like
I can stop. I can stop anytime I want. This is one addiction I can't get.
All right, let's listen to more of these. There were like a lot of these, and we got to do our last question too because that's important.
Yeah.
All right, so we did the refried beans. More lost desserts. Saran wrap cake with buttercream frosting. Aww. Left in the car on a cold day. Sun still melted the butter, and my seat has never been the same.
Yeah.
Why is the cake on the seat?
Mm-hmm. Exactly. Tupperware. More pasta crimes. Tupperware of heated ravioli that had sauce explode on ceiling when opened.
Why is the Tupperware opening in the car?
Still it's have small stains over passenger seat. Happened in 2007.
Good year.
I have a kid. This one is really painful. This one is like, Kristen's just going to be like, this is why I'm not having kids. I have a kid, so my car is full of gross, but my most least favorite thing is dark chocolate covered blueberries and ketchup smeared on the roof upholstery.
Yeah.
Why?
And then she adds.
Don't get a new car. Get new kids.
Yeah, she adds.
Just get new kids.
She adds in parentheses.
Put them in bags. I don't know.
bag your kids.
Bag up your kid. She adds in parentheses, don't have an extra tall kid who bores easily is what I'm saying. All right, another
one. Man, I never really understood, like, just the kid cleanliness thing until, like,
it's brutal.
I followed a family around with, like, a young kid for, like, a week. I knew the family. I wasn't. I was staying with them. I was not following a family.
Did you have that mustache, too, when you did it?
But I was, like, and I went through all the routines, like, taking the kid to soccer practice and, like, doing, like the amount of stuff that you have to deal with of just, like, when it is, like, a 10-minute, like... just like expedition to get a kid's socks on.
Yeah.
At a certain point, you're just like, you know what? There's half of a pretzel under something, and it's going to be there.
It's just going to be there. That's exactly. You just give up. all right. This is why Kristen's having children. All right. We have just a few more, and then we're going to talk about
puppies.
The rules of transporting food in car, which according to Kristen, are don't. But I have some other ones to add. Full venti Starbucks latte on my way to work. And then it got hot that day.
Hot milk.
This one was evocative. Innards of a Wawa scrambled egg, Sammy. Just like
what
the detail that it
doing?
Was a Wawa, Sammy, you know?
This is why no
this
one is allowed.
This sounds like South Jersey shit.
That's like Philly or South
no
Jersey.
No one is allowed
that's
to eat a thing
South
in my
South Jersey
car.
Philly bullshit.
Yeah.
Why are you getting a scrambled egg at a Wawa? Get a turkey sandwich.
Jolie,
it's nice.
I don't mean to accost your dear fans. But it sounds like
it sounds like
a lot of these people are like, I don't know, I did something I knew I was not supposed to do, and then it went wrong. I don't know what happened.
Listen, if people didn't do things that they know they're not supposed to do, and they don't go wrong, I don't have a job.
This is absurd. So... Who's eating these things in a car? Who does this?
All right, we've got two more. Both are seasonal. Soy hot chocolate on perforated leather, but the twist is that I didn't find out until a month later.
Oh, those are nice seats, too.
Oh.
Right now,
that one and hurts. It's perforated. So it's
yeah,
like,
it gets
it's
right
got
out
little
in there.
Holes in it, so it yeah. just sinks yeah. right all in there.
And then the last one, and this really was the last one that came in, and it was perfect because it is totally seasonal. I once spilled an entire container of homemade eggnog on the back seat floor.
Wow.
Isn't that open container violation?
Yeah.
Maybe they hadn't or added the booze yet.
Yeah, whoever wrote that in, you're lucky we're not cops.
I know. Yeah. Or are we?
I'm a cop.
So let me give you guys the...
I'm a cop now.
Let me give you guys the rules of transporting food in a car. Kristen and Balaban are both going to be like, the rule is don't.
The rule is don't.
The rule is don't.
Never.
But I live here in the real world with the rest of you.
Same.
I refuse to associate with any of you.
Yeah, but Balaban literally is not even looking me in the eye anymore.
My
He's
last
so
road
mad at
trip
me.
Took me 11
He's giving
hours.
Me the hand.
I was not going to never eat in the car.
And Patrick eats and allows food in the car too. And like, so it's you and Patrick.
Depends on the food though. You know, you got to be careful.
Yeah. I mean, I don't think Patrick is allowing a Tupperware of spaghetti and meatballs in the car.
Unwise.
Somehow. Don't think that.
This udon is not really car friendly.
Okay. So here are our food transport rules. In no particular order, never on the seats. Never on the seats. Don't put it on the seats. Don't do that. Also, don't put it behind the seats. That is like not only like a huge spill thing, but like you could projectile a casserole dish into the back of your head.
Ooh, true.
So don't do that from a safety.
I mean, put it in the trunk.
Safety,
if anything, right?
Right.
Yeah.
So
put it in the trunk.
So the trunk or on the floor.
Floor is great.
Floor is great. But there are also some things, even if you are going to put it in the trunk or on the floor, both of which are perfectly acceptable, that you should still do in addition to just putting it on the floor or in the trunk.
Is it secure with straps? Tie it down.
A little bit. It's not really with straps. So the first thing is, like, you want to put it into some kind of container so that, one, it can't be turned into a projectile. Two, it's going to be stable so that it's not sliding all around. Even if it doesn't spill and it's getting banged around, like, your food's going to get all jacked up. Like, your beautiful pie that you baked, you know.
Bought.
Yeah, bought. I bake my own.
Okay.
Yeah, sorry. Sorry, Kristen. No judgment. I don't make my own crust, though, because I have no...
Oh, then no deal.
No, you know, here's why. I can make the dough. I cannot manage a rolling pin. I don't have the counter space for it, nor do I have the skill. It's a weird thing about
my
me.
My wife does everything.
Well, she's wonderful. Yeah, we all know that.
Yeah.
You married up.
Clearly.
Okay, so you want to put it in a container of some sort. Ideally, a plastic or metal one. Cardboard.
If there's a leak,
the cardboard ain't going to help you.
It melts.
But when you say like a plastic or metal container, you don't mean just like, oh, like a foil baking sheet. It's got to be like,
I mean,
a
like
real
a high sided, like a laundry basket.
I use
or
an
a milk.
Igloo ice chest.
Right. Ideally, a cooler, even if it's not something that needs to stay cool. A cooler is perfect because it's contained. Even those cheap styrofoam coolers that you get at the Duane Reade, like that's perfect. Right. It's just going to like keep everything contained. If you've got something that's on the smaller side and the whatever you're transporting it in is quite larger, like if you have, say, you know, a bowl of gravy in a styrofoam cooler, a bowl of gravy is not that large. A styrofoam cooler is. There's still a lot of room for movement.
I mean, if you can fill an entire styrofoam cooler with gravy, that's very impressive.
It's a good party.
Yes, indeed.
Think about it.
Put towels in.
To cushion it.
One, the towels are going to hold things in place. And two, if there is a spill, they're going to absorb it. And then you can just wash the towels. And that's much easier than taking the seat out of your car and cleaning it. Although we're going to talk about what to do with that. So I also want to say, like, just to like reiterate, like sheet pan, you'll see this like with pies and stuff. You'll see people say like, put an extra pie plate on top and then cover the whole thing in foil and then put it on a sheet pan. Like, yeah, a cookie sheet isn't really going to do a whole lot, though. You want a high-sided, like a roasting pan. Another tip that I think – this is actually my last tip, and I think you guys are really going to like this. This is especially good for the trunk. It's also good for the floor. Those grippy drawer liners, if you put those down and then you put whatever you have on top of it, it's going to help to hold it in place and keep things from sliding around. So those are our kind of our rules. You guys, we're going to go we're going pretty long today. I went really long last week, too.
Hmm.
I don't know what's going on with me right now.
Just cut Mike out. Cut his out.
I think what it is like the holidays are like my busy time anyway, and there's always so much to cover. So I'm going to have Raph read this last question from David. I'm going to do a pretty quick answer to this question, because actually the answer to this question is really basically the same answer as the answer to the olive oil spill in the car column, my first Jalopnik column. So we'll just like send people over to read, click, 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 click on that column and get me more page views. But here, we'll have you read this last question from David.
All right. David writes, hi, Jolie. Jolie, please say hello.
Hi, David.
I have a turkey gravy catastrophe. My niece put a bowl of turkey gravy on the passenger seat of my humble Corolla. Beautiful. Love it already. And it chose to explode all over the upholstery. I had hot, greasy turkey gravy filling my bucket seat. Mmm, damn.
In a Corolla?
Yeah, man.
Wow, you can get bucket seats in a Corolla?
By the way, the way you're like, mmm, damn, you're like, that's delicious. Gravy in a seat.
I'm imagining this guy has like a really choice 1986 Toyota Corolla with like a good engine. Okay.
Yeah, you guys, listeners out there, you should know that none of these noises are about the gravy. It's about the car.
100%.
He's like just really excited about a Corolla.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's a good
which,
car.
Which, yes.
GC, I call it. GC for good car. I sopped most of it up with paper towels at the time, but now I have a big greasy stain on my synthetic fabric-covered charcoal gray seat. I'm too poor to take it to the detail shop to have it thoroughly and professionally cleaned. What is the best way for me to remove the greasy stain and lingering Thanksgiving odors at home without damaging or fading my car seat?
Yep.
Can I ever get that gravy totally out of the upholstery and foam of my seat? Or am I doomed to drive a Thanksgiving-scented car forever?
So dark.
It's really dark, right?
Throwing a bath towel over the seat for my passengers only solves the stain issue, not the smell.
Right.
And, I mean, really deteriorates the pride of that girl.
Okay, so I actually...
I appreciate your help, David.
Thank you, David. I am going to help you. I've got help for you. I actually have really easy help. So first of all, I'm going to send you guys over for like the full explanation of really what to do about a big greasy stain in the car. Go to jalopnik.com/tag/askacleanperson.
Yes.
You bet.
You'll see it all there.
You'll see it all there. One column. Actually, probably by the time this episode comes out, there'll be two columns.
Yeah.
Balaban's editing.
I'm working on it.
Yeah.
Right now.
Working hard. Yeah.
What am I doing here?
Yeah.
go do the
editing. Yes. I'm an easy edit.
Yeah.
So you guys can go and find like the full explanation is really like, you know, everything from having it professionally detailed to getting a upholstery cleaner machine and doing it on your own. It, depending on how like deep the spill went, you might have to remove the seat and use the upholstery cleaner and all of that stuff. But the quick and dirty solution that's going to work for this guy for the stain. And there are two separate issues. There's a stain issue that has to be treated one way, and then there's a smell issue that has to be treated another way. And I've got easy and cheap solutions for both, which also speaks to like the stuff that we were talking about earlier with like the spills in the car. How are you going to get this out? And, you know, there are going to be all these horrible smells and blah, blah, blah. Okay, for the gravy soup for like the oily part of it, you're going to get cornstarch, or you can use arrowroot. Or you can use talcum powder. The idea is that you want to use a powder that is going to absorb the grease out of the seats. Cornstarch is very good for this. I actually talked about this on the last episode, too, because we did holiday stains like table linen stains. And it's the same idea. What you're going to do is you're going to get cornstarch. You're going to put a very, very generous amount, like an anthill style mound of it, onto the stained portion of the seat. And you're just going to leave it. And you're going to leave it for like, I mean, given how big this spill is, I would say probably at least 48 hours.
Wow.
If they're smaller grease stains, you can do like 8 to 12 hours. If they're a little bigger, you want to do 12 to 24. And this one, I think he's got to like just park this thing for a weekend, maybe even a long weekend. And what the cornstarch is going to do is it's going to suck all the grease up out of the seat and into the cornstarch. And it really works.
Genius.
And then you can just brush it away with a dustpan and broom, or you can vacuum it away with a shop vac if you've got one of those. And if there's any kind of powdery residue, you just take a slightly damp microfiber rag or even a regular rag and just wipe it off the seats and you'll be A-okay. And that's going to do the trick. If you do that, and there's still a little bit of a stain left over, because it does sound like this was so massive, just repeat the process. It just needs another application of it. So that's all you're going to do about that. For the smell, I've got three kinds of things that you can do. So the first one is a spray odor eliminator. The best one on the market, the one you want to get, it can be a little tricky to find. A lot of hardware store and home improvement stores do carry it, but really your best bet is going to just be to order it on Amazon. Is a product called Ozium, O-Z-I-U-M. That is what weed smokers use to get the weed smell out of their homes and cars. It's very, very good.
Hmm.
It's very, very good. And it's just
I trust the smokers.
I trust the smokers, too.
Kristen's now pointing.
Yeah, who are you pointing at?
Pointing at Raph.
Hey, man.
Hey, man. Pointing myself.
How many cops are here?
Just one.
It was a different time.
That's gonna be the best. That's like the number one thing to use. So I would say just bite the bullet and go for the big guns. But there are other things that you can get. They're going to take a little bit longer to work than the Ozium because the Ozium is a spray, which means it's going to just like go right in and get in there. The other kinds of things that you can try are canister-style odor eliminators. Again, they'll take a little bit longer to work, but they will work. You can use the Bad Air Sponge is one I really like. Odoban makes one, too. You can get both of those at Home Depot. I actually just got the little Odoban ones at Home Depot, and they've been great. The Bad Air Sponge, someone recently used in her car. Her car got not heavily flooded, but a little bit flooded in Harvey. And she sent me an email and she was like, what can I do about this? And I was like, well, one, you need damp rid to pull the moisture out. And then you need like a Bad Air Sponge type thing for the kind of musty odor. And it worked. And she was great and sent her like a really nice note back. So anyway, Bad Air Sponge is really good. A few other, like another kind of category are sort of, this is like not a technical term at all, but what I would refer to as the dry odor eliminators. So those would be active charcoal, coffee grounds, which we already talked about the coffee ground thing. That does work. And then there's one that I don't know if it's a new product, but it's new to me. I just found it at the Home Depot. It's called the Gonzo Odor Eliminator. It's like a sack of volcanic ash.
What?
And I got one for my home.
Where do you get a sack of volcanic ash?
At Home Depot.
They just have that.
It's the Home Depot.
The Home Depot.
Depot. But like I understand they got like lumber and like screws.
A sack of volcanic ash. Are you not spending enough time at the Home Depot?
God, no, I hate it.
Why?
I hate Home Depot.
Okay, someone else has to edit this column because literally the lead is like me singing the praises of the Home Depot.
No. I've been there. I was just there last week, but
I'm
hate
upset.
It. It's something from my childhood. Home Depot was the one store my parents always took me to when I was a kid where there was nothing interesting for a child.
Did you not have like the?
Everything
they don't have like the rack where there are all the different nails that you could see.
That's riveting.
Yes,
I was not allowed.
That's so exciting.
All the nuts and bolts
and all the little drawers,
all the different doorknobs to play with, and all of those toxic chemicals that you could kill yourself with.
Well, that's the thing. My parents knew I would kill myself. They were instantly like, "No. You're staying right here in plumbing fixtures. That's what you want."
Plumbing fixtures are fascinating.
And plumbing, they are.
Oh God, no.
All the shapes.
Balaban.
Plumb.
There's a lot in my childhood of stuff to work out.
I'm hurt right now.
I'll get the Home Depot Corporation to apologize. You know how much I love brands.
Yeah.
Hashtag brands.
Yes, you certainly do.
Synergy.
On this distressing note, I'm really sad.
You know, you were mentioning all these different cleaning things, and it reminded me that there's a whole other level of car cleaning, which we haven't even touched on.
Okay, well, you have to come back. What is it?
Which is personal cleaning upon working on a car.
Oh, yes. Steph and I were just talking about this, actually.
Excellent. Because there's all sorts of ways that, like, mechanics, keep themselves clean.
Mm-hmm.
And there are ways of, like, cleaning up things which are dirty, and there are ways of preventing yourself from even encountering these things. Mm-hmm. When you're working on a car is really designed not with the human form in mind. There's so many different chemicals which you shouldn't touch,
yes.
So many things which can cut you. All sorts of stuff, precautions and measures that can be done to prevent and clean up.
So I'm trying to lure Steph to New York.
Yes.
Yes.
And
we all are.
When she gets here, I'm going to make her come on the show with you, Raph. And you can talk about all the cleaning stuff and then she'll learn.
You both have rear engine Beetles now. Or she has a
Volkswagens,
VW.
Yeah.
Volkswagens.
Hers is way bigger and cooler than mine.
I'm
sending her carburetors.
Oh, nice.
Which
okay.
I got from a very kind man in North Carolina who just gave them to me.
I work in
car
a weird job where people just give each other
I feel
a gift for you, carburetors.
Like a man in North Carolina was just like a Jalopnik fan. It was like, oh, I saw you were working on your Beetle in North Carolina. Here, I've got $400 worth of carburetors. Have them.
People are so surprisingly nice, right?
Yeah.
Freakish.
Yeah. Then again, it gives me hope.
Then again, I asked the Yugo guy, the guy that my Yugo is from. I was like, do you have a set of shock absorbers? And he was like, eBay does.
Brutal. All right, way to bring it down. I was going to try to end on that happy note about the carburetors.
Oh, carburetors are great.
All right, you guys, we have to go. Listen, we went way long, and we still have to go record a bonus episode because we got to talk all about Car versus America.
Oh my God,
we got to hear your behind the scenes stories. We got to hear what it's like to be stars. Famous television
all the times
stars.
We were accosted in the supermarket.
And on that note, that'll do it for this episode of Ask a Clean Person, the podcast, the holiday Jalopisode. You guys, thank you so much for being here.
Thanks so
this
much for having, us. Having
us. Of course, you're thank you for welcome. Being my family. If you guys like what you heard today, please consider becoming a patron by going to patreon.com/askacleanperson and selecting one of the amazing rewards I'm offering to my listeners. I would also love it if you would subscribe on Acast or iTunes. Leave a rating and tell your pals about this weird little cleaning show that you love so much. And of course, thanks to my listeners for joining me for another episode of Ask a Clean Person, the podcast.
Normally, being a little extra can be a bit much. But when it comes to healthcare, it pays to be extra. And United Healthcare makes it easy with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they supplement your primary plan, helping you manage out-of-pocket costs without the usual requirements and restrictions like deductibles and enrollment periods. So when it comes to covering your medical bills, you can feel good about being a little extra. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.